This week, we sat down with our friend Crystal Nichols. Crystal loves film and television, but also loves teaching. You guys, her heart for her kids is so contagious and inspiring. We talked about the diversity in her classroom, the big goals we want to accomplish for this year, and Joe Exotic's fate. Welcome to the Happiest Hour podcast.
Zombie apocalypse ever happens, Gina knows that she's fine.
She's fine. She's got it. She's gonna live.
Me and you, maybe not.
Probably not. I'll probably turn into a zombie.
I don't know, but you know, I like you guys, so maybe I would provide some safe haven.
Please.
Yeah.
I know people with guns, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that make you feel uncomfortable?
No, it makes me feel like I know where to go. Like when shit hits the fan, I'm like, I'm either going to drive to St. Louis or I'm going to drive to Philadelphia because that's where I know where, like, the guns are. That's where I'm going.
I don't think the East Coast would be good during a zombie apocalypse.
Definitely not in New York.
Toward Midwest.
But like, yeah, like, I mean, any, think about it. I guess Philly, any, Baltimore, yeah. D.C.
All those
like,
people.
New York,
that's
Boston.
A lot of people. New York,
true,
like,
true.
I'm good.
They're
Northeast,
all so close.
We'd be getting eaten. So probably St. Louis. Probably I should St. head towards St.
Well,
Louis.
Well, I don't know, man. Everyone in North Dakota would probably survive because does anyone live there?
No.
So we should just probably move there.
Somebody has to live in North Dakota.
I don't know. Give me some proof.
Do you guys have Paramount Plus?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen The Stand?
No.
Please watch The Stand.
Okay. What's it about?
It's about basically like if COVID were like a 99% fatal, like anybody who got it died like this.
That's terrifying to put out during a pandemic.
It is. It is terrifying.
Did they make it prior to COVID or was it pandemic shoot?
I feel like it might have been a pandemic shoot because this is like a Paramount Plus original.
Okay.
So, that yeah.
And they're not very new.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
Wait,
yeah.
they're not very old.
They're not very old. They like just new. Came out. Like I remember it was like the Super Bowl and they were like Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I think it's pretty new. I'm pretty sure they shot it during the pandemic.
Okay.
And it was like basically like the virus that people would get, like mucus would fill up in your throat and that's how you died.
So it just choked you.
It choked you to death, the mucus. And so it was like people's like necks were like this big and they were like dead like this. It was crazy.
Yikes.
And so basically it's about like all the people, like the people that survived, what happened, like what brought them to their different locations. And they're like these two hubs where like people survive and they have these dreams and it takes them to these different places. And you see like the people who go to like the good place and the Ooh. People that go to the bad place. And
then it ties into the ABC sitcom, The Good Place, and that is renewed for another. It's not. It's
okay.
Totally
I was going
to
say, I could have swore it was over.
It's totally over, but I was just trying to go with it. So I have been watching Big Sky. Have you guys watched it at all?
Mm-mm.
So I would not say that it's like the most well-made TV show, but it's certainly entertaining. And it takes place, well, in Big Sky, like in Montana. Mm. And I am convinced that it is the most terrifying place that
Montana?
Exists. Big yes. Sky? Yeah. The amount of stuff that goes down in this show, I'm like, that's got to be real.
It's someone's real life.
It's someone's reality.
Yeah.
And all of it is insane. Like, every small town that you hit in Montana is full of sadistic families.
I could believe it. I mean, I would hate to live in a small town just because it's like people have so many secrets. Like, I feel like I would rather live around a lot of people who are in their own, like, little area rather than living in a small place where we know everyone's secrets. Like I don't want to know my neighbors. Really.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, that and it's like one family kind of rules the entire town.
Yeah.
So everyone's in their pockets. And I kind of feel that not in a necessarily as psycho way as Big Sky, but even the small town that I'm from, like there is one man who is severely rich and his name is plastered on everything. And you cannot, like, own a business or start a business in this town.
Without.
Well, I mean, you have to get permission from him, basically, because he, like, owns everything.
Yeah.
So if you want to, you know, we have this super cute downtown area that no one's revitalized because he owns all of it. Mm. So you can't do anything with it, and he's not doing anything with it. So I would imagine that in other, like, I don't want to say less developed places because that's unfair to Montana, but also they're not as developed as the East Coast. So I'm just going to go there. You know, it's probably kind of crazy. It's probably like Wild Wild West out there.
I'm sure.
Do you ever see Deadwood?
No.
Deadwood on HBO. It's like early 2000s.
HBO shows are way too dark for me, Nikki J.
I know, but it's so good, and that's pretty much what it is. It's Deadwood, South Dakota, and the push out west. So everyone's just starting to leave St. Louis. Mm-hmm. It's the gateway to the west. They're leaving. They settle in this place called Deadwood, but this one guy rules the entire city.
Yeah.
And it's just a story about Deadwood back in, like, you know, way back when.
I mean, to be the guy that, like, rules it all. Good Lord, that'd be...
Yeah, but then everyone would be resentful toward you, and at some point they are going to murder you.
At some point, or your children, and who really wants to live with that?
Yeah. I mean, either way, it's not going to be a good ending for you. Like, you're not just going to die happy in your sleep.
No.
No, you're going to get murdered by someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't... That's not the way I want to go.
No. Okay, so change of topic.
Because I was gonna, like, I was literally about to be like, so, how would you prefer to go? No, I'm kidding. But I mean, bring it up the other day. But we'll
literally
change.
In my sleep, happy.
I'm trying to be peaceful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Peaceful. Well, I mean, oh yeah, no, peaceful. I dig that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind if it happened in a nice retirement home.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen these retirement homes?
I haven't.
Could I get a space there now?
Oh, yeah. They're like apartment complexes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're so nice.
And
they
have little gyms.
With a bunch of old people.
Yeah. It's just an old person apartment
complex.
Who will
knit you sweaters?
So could you imagine like being like older and widowed, and then you go to this like apartment complex with like a bunch of other older people, and then you find like the second love of your life?
Honestly,
I'm sure it's a Hallmark movie.
Oh, I'm sure, right?
100%.
Yeah,
I just imagined in my head.
Right.
I went to a bunch of old women just like whoring it up, and I got so uncomfortable because. So I was listening to Armchair Expert earlier, and he was talking about how his mom is on all of these dating apps. Like mm-hmm. she's, you know, recently widowed, probably within the last 5 years or something,
mm-hmm.
and she is just like. Dating around, she called, like, casual sex, all of this stuff. And she called Dax one day and was just, like, so happy. And he was like, yeah, she definitely had just gotten laid. I'm like, if my mom called me like that, I would be so uncomfortable. I would say, I'm sorry. You need to reach out to your girlfriends because...
Makes an excuse and gets off the phone.
Yes, no, I cannot. I don't even, like, even when my friends get pregnant, like, one part of me is like... Oh, congratulations. The other part of me is like, you've had sex. Like, it makes me so uncomfortable to even think about people that I know engaging in it.
Yeah.
So if my mom called me with that news, I'd be like, no, I'm sorry. I'm not that person for
Can't
you.
Do it.
I can handle my friends, but definitely not my mom. Definitely not my mom. No, I don't want to know. Like, me and my mom, we've gotten to a place where, like, we're best friends. We've been just friends, like, my entire life. And, like, we do not cross. Like, that is the line that we're, like, not going to cross. I don't want to go there with you. Absolutely not.
Boundaries should be respected and loved. Yeah. I think that boundaries are good.
I embrace them. I lean into boundaries.
Yes. Boundaries give you freedom.
They do. They do. Okay, like my cousin. So she had her second child. It was via C-section. And it was like emergency C-section. And she was like explaining to my mom and I like what she was going through. And I like we're like on FaceTime.
While she's having the C-section?
No, not while
she's
having
the C-section. Oh my gosh, I was like, no way! No, that I would not even answer that. No. Oh my gosh.
This was, like, after. This was, like, a month or so after. And she's, like, telling us, like, because my mom had a C-section. She had a C-section. They were, like, kind of talking about it. And I'm, like, holding the phone. And she's like talking about it, and I have to like tilt it away because I'm like squirming. She's explaining like the way her body feels and like the problems and like the problems like with her and her husband like in bed. And I'm like, oh God, I have got to be very immature that I don't want to listen to like the birthing stuff. I'm just not there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, maybe it is immaturity. I was going to say I don't know if it's immaturity because I'm basically just trying to justify my own actions, but I would say I'm pretty immature, probably.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Oh, I know I'm immature. Yeah. Like, I love a good dirty popsicle stick joke. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, we talked a couple weeks ago about Nick's favorite now and later jokes.
Uh-huh.
He still looks them up.
I do.
And recites them. He's a bartender, and he will tell them to his patrons at his bar.
What is your favorite joke?
Oh man, I gotta pull them
see,
up again.
You got it. This is,
I'd have one off the hit.
I can't believe you didn't research this after the last time I asked.
I did, and I had a full web page like up on here. I'm like, I'm gonna bring it up during the next taping. Mm-hmm. We're gonna say it, and it's gonna be great. I can do one to like open the fact check, and it just never happened.
Yeah.
We also love a good joke. So Nikki J, that's your homework for next week, is to.
Okay.
Pull up the now and later jokes.
Okay. Maybe that's what we'll end on today. I don't
know. Oh, yeah. Ooh, that'd be nice. I mean, you have your computer right there.
I have my computer. I got my phone.
We can definitely circle back. That'll bring it full circle.
Okay.
I would love to end with a joke.
You're not doing film right now. You are teaching and getting, is it your master's in education that you're getting?
Yes.
Okay.
Third degree.
So, I know. You're just like a professional school person.
I'm a professional nerd.
Okay. Love it.
Hence the thinking cap. I don't have it on today. I should have it on today.
I love the thinking cap. We need to... Is that for sale? Can we like promote that somewhere?
I would like to... I'll see if he's like still... He has a... I'll have to explain this later because it's super cool. Well, I'll explain it now really quickly. So my friend, he bought this cargo, like a shipping... large shipping container.
Okay.
And he made a store out of it. He like furnished it. Like, it has plumbing, it has electricity, everything.
It's pretty cool.
And he like sells clothes out of like a shipping container. It's called Cargo Streetwear.
Is he in Nashville?
He's in Indianapolis.
Okay.
So
well, that's not too far.
Yeah, it's not too far, like 4.5 hours. But yeah, so I'll have to see if he has any other and if he's still making the very cool thinking caps.
I mean, why wouldn't he be? It's a great idea. I don't understand how it didn't...
Keep them going.
Yeah, I don't know how I didn't see it before.
Yeah.
You know, like, how is no one...
It's so clear.
...selling thinking caps?
It's so clear. It's so clear. It's, like, so obvious, but not. Like, how could no one think of it? And, yeah.
It's... extraordinary. It's one of my favorite hats, and I have a large hat collection.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with it. I love his work, and I would love to promote it if you can get me his information. But what were we talking about?
We were talking about film school.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So we were talking about film school. You are now teaching and getting your master's in education. You are a professional student.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about your transition from film school to, well, you had always been involved with the school. That was you were always teaching. That was kind of your job while you were in film school.
Mm-hmm.
But then you kind of made the leap after film school to just, like, being full in it.
Yes. It really is an interesting story, but it's definitely a journey. I feel like teaching chose me. So I come from a family of educators, and so when I was moving back to Nashville to go to film school, I was like, I need a job. Like, I had interviewed at Regions, and I didn't get the job because I stupidly told them that I no-called, no-showed at a job, and that's how I ended one of my jobs. Like, I called back, and I told them that, and they were like, yeah, because you told us that. Like, we're not going to hire you. So, like... No, I'm kidding. But yeah, like kind of a few regions, whatever. But so I ended up like subbing because my aunt was like, you should get a substitution job. Like you can make your own schedule. They pay a decent wage. So I started working at a school, loved it, loved the kids, and I was like, oh, I could do this full time. And this was like in the year that I was graduating from film school. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure I told you I had an awful experience like working in the film industry.
Yeah, because you went to LA for a whole semester. Which you were very missed. You worked with your aunt?
My cousin.
Your cousin.
She's an older
cousin.
Do
you say
cousin.
Aunt or aunt?
I say aunt.
Okay.
It depends. Like, okay. If I'm saying, like, the name after, I say, like, aunt name. And then if I'm talking about the person, I say my aunt.
Interesting.
It's weird.
Well,
it's like a brain thing.
I feel like we need to unpack that. However, so we'll keep going.
Yeah.
You had a bad experience when you worked with your cousin in LA. You were working on her television show. What was she working on?
So she is I'm not going to say her name, but she is a freelance TV director.
Mm-hmm.
And so she does like episodic television.
And one note here also for people who don't understand like how TV direction works, like when you make a movie you have a director and that is set. If you mm-hmm. are doing a TV series, you have a different director almost every
single
episode. Yeah,
unless like the series you like some of them will have like the same directors come mm-hmm. back regularly, but yeah, so you have like maybe one or two cinematographers, yeah. like DPs that do it, but you have like different directors every single episode. So my boss, she would go and she's based out of LA, but never really worked in LA. So we spent like 3 weeks in Vancouver shooting Supergirl, which was dope, like amazing. But I shot myself in the foot because I asked a stupid question one on the set.
What'd you ask?
So she gave me like, you know, so if you work for like an LA, like, entertainment person and you're their assistant, you better have your freaking, like, this is a note for anybody who's doing it.
Sure.
If they are talking to you and giving you a rundown, you better have your voice memo going.
Yeah.
And you're recording what the F they're saying.
You make a note of every single thing that they say.
Every single thing that they say. Well, day one, we're like on set and she was like, I need my director's plans. I need this. I need da 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 da.
Is this your cousin?
This is my cousin. And so I was like, okay. I had no idea what director's plans were. Like, we had been in film school for one semester,
mm-hmm.
and I had no idea what director's plans were. So the only people that I had met, I hadn't met any PAs, nobody. I had only met, like, the producer, the showrunner, like, the DP. Like, those are the only people that I met and I was familiar with. So I go to the AD, and I'm like, hey, where do I get director's plans? And he's like, director's plans? And I was like, director's plans? And he's like, let's go ask your cousin.
Oh my gosh.
And see, and I was like, no, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And he's like, no, let's go ask her. And I'm like,
also, like, what a jerky AD, which is the assistant director, which is kind of the director's right-hand man. Like, they make sure,
like, the manager of the set.
Yeah, they make sure that everything gets done on time, mm-hmm. and all of that, and I guess they can be jerks also.
He was a major jerk. Went and told my cousin, and after that, she was like, you don't ask him for anything. Like, that's not his job. That is your job. And I was like, oh God. She was like, you're green. We're going to have to, like, get you up to date. And, like, she like, was calling me green. She knew I was from Indiana, so she was calling me, like, small town, like, country, all the things.
Is this a cousin that you weren't necessarily close to?
Yes.
Okay. I'm like, if any... Well, I can't say that I'm super close to any of my cousins, but
yeah.
I'm like, if any of them treated me this way,
no.
I would be like, we are not family.
No, like, I was in two of my cousins' weddings. Like, you know, I have, like, cousins that I'm super close to.
Yeah.
And then I have this cousin who's like my mom's age, so they're first cousins, you know, so that's like that way. So and she lives out in LA and doesn't, like, she doesn't have close family ties, like, she doesn't keep in contact. Like, I would have to, as her assistant, would have to call her mom and be like, hey, so-and-so has an episode on tonight, please watch it. Like, I would have to call her mom. So, like, that's kind of the family relationship. So no, I'd met her like maybe a few times before I started working for her. And when I met her, like, she was really cool. So, you know, very high strung, but cool. And so once I got out there, it was just like a whole new world. She wasn't that nice to me. She didn't give me many opportunities to, like, make mistakes and learn. I had to, like, learn on the fly. And I make mistakes, or I learn through the mistakes that I make. Like, once I make it once, I'm not going to make it twice.
Which we could argue that most people learn that way. Like, I think that that's a great learning device, is allowing someone to fail, and then they hopefully, if they're teachable, they won't do it again.
I'm a teacher. Like, I use your failure to make you better.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you do. But she fired me after 1 month. 1 month. And she was like, you know, we went out to lunch and she was like, yeah, it's not going to work out, but I want our relationship. I just don't want this to ruin our relationship. And I was like, baby, our relationship is done.
Yeah. Like, this was our relationship.
This was our relationship. Yeah. So I worked for her for like 2 more months after she fired me. And then she sent me packing. And
why would you stay, Crystal? You could have come back to us.
I didn't really have a choice. And she also paid me really good money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wanted to go. We also went to New York for like 2 weeks. And I really wanted to do the New York trip.
Yeah.
So New York was great. Way better than LA.
Yeah.
But yeah. So basically, I had a really difficult boss. I was like, I came back, kind of had fallen out of love with entertainment, with directing, with movies, with television. And I just finished the program. And Gina finished way faster than I did. No, and but left me there.
It's because I was like, I don't want my MFA. I just want my MA. I had totally dropped the F and was just like, peace out. Because there is something to, once I get into a structured setting, that I automatically, like, I'm immediately like, oh, I don't like this anymore. Like, yeah. I was in love with film and television. I wanted to learn so much about it. And then when someone gave me homework, I was like, why are you imposing this on me?
Yeah.
When it was their job. But it was, to me, it was so frustrating. And I had also, I think, gotten so burnt out that I was just like, I need some space. And so, yeah, I ended the program earlier because I am not as credentialed as Crystal is. Like, that was the trade-off. So. I stopped earlier, but I don't have my F.
Okay. So what is the F? For somebody that's not
fine. Fine. So really the only different and fine.
What's the entire acronym?
Okay, so it's Masters of Fine Arts, or just Masters of Arts. And really the only thing that the F gets you is the ability to teach in a college setting. Yeah.
That's it.
Interesting.
I could be a professor if I want. That's it.
Which, I mean, you could be a professor of many things, I feel like, at this point.
Yeah, probably. Yes, I could. But do I want to? No, because I love the children.
Yeah, okay.
They're so much more fun.
So talk to us about that. Like, what is it that you love? And talk to us about your school, too, because I love the work that you're doing with your students. Like, you started, like, a TV show with them so that they can – you've kind of married – the two things that you are passionate about. And so just talk to us a little bit about that. Who are your students? Like, why do you love it? All of that.
Yeah. So I teach at Lead Cameron. It is a part of the charter network, Lead Public Schools. And, like, shout out to Lead because we have 100% college acceptance from our high school graduates. So it's a you have to be accepted to a 4-year college in order to graduate from a Lead high school, which is super cool. So where I am at middle school, I teach 7th and 8th grade newcomers, which it is their first year in the country. A lot of them come from like Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, some from Mexico.
They're coming from hard situations.
Oh my God. Like we... Usually, so, like, at the very – our first unit is introduction and, like, immigration. So we just teach them the, like, survival vocabulary for just living. Mm-hmm. And also we tie it back to, like, where they come from, and that's, like, immigration. Mm-hmm. And so we have them write their own immigration story. And I remember, like, my first year of being, like, an in-classroom teacher, reading their immigration stories, like, almost made me cry. Like, just looking at, like, they leave because of poverty. They leave because of violence. Those are the main reasons why they leave their country. And a lot of them travel for, like, 20 days to get here. And on foot for, like, A week.
Are the majority of them still with their parents? Like, them and their parents have come to America for a better life? Or, like, what's their...
No.
You know, we're generalizing, but, like, what's the typical backstory?
So, a lot of our kids, some of them come with parents, or some of them travel on their own to meet a parent who's come there, come here before them.
Hmm.
Some of them live with aunts and uncles. But we have a lot of kids, like, they've lost their mothers. I had one student... he was here. He moved here literally today. He told me he was like February 2020 was when he moved here.
Mm.
And he lost his mother in November of this year. And he was here and she was in Guatemala. And he was like, you know, we have really close relationships with these kids because a lot of them are here with like older brother, sister, aunt, uncle. So we're like parents to them. We're like mother figures.
Yeah.
And so he was like on FaceTime with one of my coworkers, like on a three-way FaceTime so that she could be with him while he's like watching his mother's funeral. And like, it's just really, it's hard, but it makes the work so worth it because we put in like, 10 hours a day, 6 days a week to be ready. And just to see the growth in them is really rewarding. It's like the small things, you know, when they start speaking in complete sentences to you, when they start like speaking more clearly and loudly, you know, they're just becoming more confident in their voice. And so that makes our work like super, super worth it. Like it's very cool. But yeah, my kids, it's like WIDA level one, newcomers. And for anybody that doesn't know, like WIDA is how you evaluate the language proficiency of an ESL student. And you have like the level
one. Is that an acronym for something?
I feel like it is. Like everything in education is an acronym, sure. But it is WIDA. that's what perfect. I know that's
love it. WIDA. We can fact check it later.
Yeah, fact check. Yeah, we'll fact check it later. But that's how like we measure their English proficiency. And it's like my level ones, they come in, they don't say anything to me. Yo no sé, miss. I don't know. You know, I'm no comprende. They just are like so like, but they're the hardest working kids in the school. They come to America to learn, to work hard, to make something of themselves. And like even their parents, whether they're still alive, whether they're with them here, they're working every single day to bring like honor to their family, respect, like certain words that like I bring up and I'm like the concepts of like respect and honor is something that they get like this.
Yeah. I think a lot of cultures are much more familial than America is. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, it could definitely be something that we've kind of moved from. I think probably early on we were very family oriented and it very much was like bring respect to your household. But I think that there are a lot of cultures that are still very much like
I wish
that.
We could get back to it.
You think so?
I would love that to, because I think it's so important and makes you really grounded. The one group of students that I love, and I'm so sad I don't have any this year, we have a lot of Egyptian students. And if you don't know, like, the Egyptian population in Nashville is huge.
Yeah. There's also a really – I'm trying to think of the other big population that we have here. A lot of them – so Siloam is a family health center that serves immigrant families.
Yeah.
They are awesome. Mm-hmm. And I just love their organization. And they – I don't think it's Turkish people, but – I don't want to mess it up, so I'm not going to say it, and I'm going to come back and fact check it later.
Yeah.
But, yes, we get a lot of Egyptians, and there's also a really big other population that we're going to fact check later.
We have a big, Somalian population that comes here. At least at my school, we have a lot of them. So, yeah, I mean, it's just super diverse, like, and it's really cool because you could, like, in my first 2 years, like, we would have a classroom, and students would like four different languages or five different languages in some of these classes. And it was just like, whoa, like some spoke Portuguese, some Spanish, some Quechi, some Arabic, like some Somali. Like it's just very
That's
cool.
Really cool.
Like,
yeah.
I love the diversity.
Do you feel like it has shifted your perspective personally at all. Like, I don't know where you started with your worldview and perspective, but do you feel like it has changed at all over the course of working with these kids?
Yes. In my brain, like, diversity was like, oh, we have like 60% whites and like 40% black and like 10% Asian and like 5%, like, whatever. I'm sure my math is like not adding up, but like, you know, like that was my idea of diversity. And then moving to Nashville, I went to an HBCU and graduated from TSU. Hey, Land of Golden Sunshine, the Tennessee State University. So I went to an HBCU, and once I moved here, my view of Nashville was black.
Hmm. Okay.
So everything, when I first came here, it was all HBCU. That's all I knew about Nashville. And then once I went to Lipscomb, I was like, oh, wow.
There are white people here.
There's white people here. and then once I started teaching at Cameron, I said, whoa. It's like legitimately a melting pot. This city is so cool for so many reasons. You can just go to different areas and like you can literally like cross these huge cultural lines. If you go down like Murfreesboro, like if you go down Lafayette to like Murfreesboro Pike,
yep,
you're in like just
in
like,
Lebanon Pike, right? Isn't that a big corridor for a specific? I can't remember. Oh, it's gonna drive me crazy that I can't think of this.
I feel like, are there like more houses or apartments on Lebanon?
Oh,
like houses?
Because maybe.
I think it's more like Egyptians might live.
Okay.
Out in that area.
Okay.
They have an easier, a more fluid immigration process.
Really? What? What makes it easier for them?
So their like embassy is more equipped to like set them up for success, like getting them homes, getting them jobs, like getting them like laying the foundation. Where people from like Central and South America, those aren't like the immigrants that people want in America. So they're like, they don't have as much support. So a lot of them come in like well below the poverty line. So it's harder for them to, like, get up and get out.
Yeah. It's so interesting to me because I feel like even with Egyptians, like, there is this stigma of, I mean, especially after 9/11. But I feel like the stigma wouldn't necessarily be any better.
It's not even about, like, what everyone else. It's their community. Their community is so tight-knit that, like, their cousin, they set each other up. And I feel like that's kind of the difference. Our Central and South American brethren, they have a much harder time. Like they just don't have the foundation. It's really different. Like you, I would go do home visits and seeing my Egyptian students in their homes versus like my Hispanic students in their homes. It's so different.
Yeah. Do you find that your Egyptian students or Middle Eastern students come here and know more English than your Latinx students do? And do you think that that could benefit them in any way and harm the Latinx students?
It's truly a mix.
Sure.
Because I've had some of my Egyptian students have come to us with no education background at all. And those are the ones, and it is a lot harder because they write in symbols. It's all symbols, not letters. And so taking their language and translating it to English is so much more challenging than our Latinx friends, right? They have words that like sound like our English words. They look like you know, the letters sound differently. But yeah, so it really truly depends. I have some of my Egyptian girls, they would come into class and just take off. And then other ones, they like stayed with us for like 2 years in Newcomer Academy. And then same thing with some of our Hispanic students. Like I had one girl last year, she came in, her name's Juliana, and she's just like a superstar And she came in like a level one, or no, a level two WIDA. She exited a level four WIDA.
What's the highest level you can be?
To get out of L services, you have to be between level four and level five.
Okay.
That's almost like native speaker English. And so she got there in like 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, where I have other students who stay there for like two. But she definitely came from a stronger academic background. So just in general, like no matter where you come from, if you come from a stronger academic background, it's going to be a lot easier for you to grow in your new language.
I love your heart for your students and the diversity. Every time we have a conversation, you light up when you talk about your students. And I'm just like, you're where you're supposed to be, at least for now. You know, like I think that that's a sign that when you take that much joy from something, it's at least for now the right thing for you. And I think that's really cool. And I love hearing it.
Thank you.
Do you think you'll ever go back? I mean, we've talked about writing scripts together. Do you think that that's something that is still relatively life-giving to you, or are you kind of just like over it?
I would love to like get back into writing scripts. You remember when we had those like crazy snow days randomly? Mm-hmm. I like wrote a script.
Ooh.
I like a 6-page. Like I sat there one morning. I was like,
was it our COVID stories? Because I've thought more about that since we had conversations, and I have thought of some pretty funny sketch. I mean, in my opinion, they were pretty funny. So we should talk some more about those.
We should. It wasn't necessarily like the COVID stories, but like it was more of like a insecure-esque, girlfriend-esque kind of thing.
Yeah, okay, love it.
Yeah, so it's more like I moved. Okay, so right at the beginning of like when everything went crazy, because like I feel like in Nashville, like Nashville just kept getting like punched in the face last
year.
Sure,
yep.
Like over and over.
There
was like the tornado, and then the next week there was like the shutdown and everything. Literally 2 weeks before that, I signed a lease to a new apartment. And so I spent like the week before like moving into my new apartment, everything. And then the tornado ran in between where my old apartment was and my new apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like, oh my God. Well, I moved in. I have this new roommate. She's super cool. And we just like, we weren't going into work for like weeks. And we live in this apartment building that's right around the corner from the Titans Stadium. And so we had like Titans players like living in our apartment complex. We weren't working. And so life just like kind of turned up. And so I just like wrote a script about like kind of the sitcom that my life became once I moved into my new apartment.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Can I read it?
Yeah.
Would you allow me to read it?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
It's not good right now, but you can read
That's
it.
Okay. I mean, I am like 22 or 23 pages into a sitcom that I started at the beginning of the year. And every time I get back to it, I'm just like, you're not good. I don't know why I'm sticking with you, but I am committed to this story. Mm-hmm. And I am going to write this until you are good.
What's it about?
To pretty you up. So the working title right now is called On Air. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially like a Frasier meets Schitt's Creek situation.
Oh, I love Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. So a radio personality has to move back home to care for her aging dad and kind of has to deal with all of the stuff in between and gets reconnected to her high school friends and all of that. So I am really obsessed with some of my characters. Some of them I'm like, I gotta make you more likable. Like even my main character, I'm like, you're not my favorite.
Oh.
So I need to do some work on that.
Let's make her likable.
Right? Yeah. I mean, she's likable, but she's not my favorite. And that might be okay. But there's just obviously some work that we can do there. But
it gives me like Netflix. Always? Like, I feel like that sounds like something that would be on Netflix.
Oh, please don't compare it to like Sweet Magnolias or Virgin River, which in full transparency, I love. But I would never be like, wow, those were like amazing television shows.
Yeah, but like it just needs to be something that like people can just vibe out to, you know? I feel like we put too much pressure on ourselves to make it like, oh, this like Emmy worthy. Like,
sure,
you know, like,
yeah.
Let's just like make something fun, make something enjoyable that people can like just vibe out to, you know?
I read like a really interesting article the other day. Phoebe Waller-Bridge's gave like her 7 top tips for writing. Yeah. And one of them was write for one person, like write for the person whose opinion matters most to you. Let them read it, and if they enjoy it, then
go.
Yeah, just do your thing. Just, like, let it be what it is. And I think that that has been helpful for me. And also, I'm just like, I just need to serve the story. Mm-hmm. Like, what is a story? And I am going to, I want to do it well. I don't want to care about how it's going to be received. Yeah. I just, someone out there is going to care about it and relate to it. And that's really all that matters. Is
yeah.
Even if you just reach one person, right, with some sort of story, then it might change their life or it might affect their thinking or whatever.
Yeah. I dig it. Can I read your 22-page sitcom?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Okay, cool.
I would love if you read it and just gave me... It's very, very rough. And by very, very rough, I mean, like, I have notes in there where I'm like, you need to insert two or three scenes.
Can you send it to me, like, tonight? Because yes. I want to... I'm, like, taking a plane to St. Louis tomorrow, and I need something to read on the plane.
To your gun friends?
Yeah. my gun uncle.
Oh, it's your uncle.
It's my uncle.
So is it like hunting guns or is it?
It's like shoot people guns.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, it's good for a zombie apocalypse. We're all gearing up.
I need to like try to shoot one maybe before the apocalypse.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah. I went to a gun range, I guess a month ago and did like a new shooter's training course.
Yeah.
And y'all should have seen my cuticles afterwards. I was a nervous wreck the whole time. It was so
was
I
it
went
like
to,
biting the cuticles or like
picking them.
Okay.
So I went to Royal Range, which used to be a movie theater. And even just the fact that there's a gun range in a movie theater after the whole Aurora situation is unsettling.
Yeah,
but you walk in there and there's just like literally anyone can walk in, purchase a gun, and then just go shoot it. It's the easiest thing in the world. And
I mean,
you
don't have to purchase it. You can even rent it for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's worse, Nick. Why'd you say that?
Yeah.
Well, because honestly, I'd much rather somebody rent a pistol and not have them be able to walk leave the away building with it.
Yeah.
Then, hey, I'm only here for a few hours to see if I like shooting it or mm-hmm. to get instruction on how to use it.
Yes. So I will say that I kind of appreciated the sport of it. There mm-hmm. was something to the breath work and the focus and the accuracy that I was like, this is kind of cool.
You said breath work.
Yes. Okay, so a lot of people probably don't do this, but I was so anxious that every time I would take a shot, I would breathe in for a certain count and then breathe out.
Yeah.
And then I would shoot. So it took me forever to, like, get through my rounds. But I was like, oh, this is this element of mindfulness that I don't necessarily like participate
yoga.
In.
Like yoga.
Exactly like yoga.
I'm actually listening to the calming app on my headphones while I'm shooting. Matthew McConaughey is going through his book.
Exactly. So for me, it was this element of mindfulness that I don't necessarily incorporate mm-hmm. on a regular basis because I'm just always going. But I think that I was so anxious about all of it that I was like, oh my gosh, I have to breathe so many times just mm-hmm. so I don't shoot anyone around me or shoot my foot because, mm-hmm. you know, there are stories about mm-hmm. people going in there for their new shooter's training course and they like shoot off their hand or foot.
Yeah. Yeah, people do shoot off a foot or a finger.
Oh, yeah, whatever it is, it's not good. Okay, so you're going to St. Louis tonight. I will email you my script so that you can read it.
Printing that thing off. I'm printing it off tomorrow at school, and I'm going to read it on the plane.
Well, you're going to get a lot of, like, notes, like, all caps, like, insert scene about such and such.
That's
here.
Fine.
You're just going to have to deal with that. And I would love... obviously your feedback because I really value your
honestly
perspective.
I loved reading your scripts in film school. Like I would literally be like reading them and like reading the jokes and like laughing out loud.
Oh my gosh.
I'm ready.
Made me feel so good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. It was so fun. Like that was a good time.
Yeah. We had a good time. Even though I think our teachers, it was probably me and you every time they got in trouble for being late.
Yeah, probably.
I'm like, listen, we're paying for this. Don't we have the freedom to be late if we're paying for this?
I was late a lot. I don't know. I'm still getting in trouble for, like, not being a great student. I'm always a student, but I'm not a good one. So, yeah, you know. But we made it through.
We made it somehow. Yeah, somehow we graduated, we're on the other side of it, and now we're recording podcasts and teaching kids.
I'm just,
We are definitely utilizing our degrees.
We are so using that film degree right now. Yikes. No, but how did you feel, this is just like a random side note, how did you feel about the brown hood that we got?
Oh, did you go to graduation?
No, I went to graduation.
Yeah,
I was like, why would I go to? I've done graduation so many times because my mom made me.
Okay.
So why would I ever go to another graduation? So yeah, yikes. I totally skipped it. So brown hoods.
The brown hood, it's so annoying. Like everybody else got like really nice colors, like maybe a little pink, maybe like teal.
So it was just like the film program that got brown hoods?
Just the film program. It was like me graduated with Larry the Cucumber from VeggieTales, definitely. We were the only ones. And like Mike, we all had the brown hoods. And it was no bueno, okay? It was like, I was just very jealous. Like we graduated around, actually this was maybe foreshadowing, but in front of us were like the education, like the teaching, like the teachers, they were graduating and they had like this nice like blue, like aqua, like hood. And like I'm sitting here with like my brown hood and I'm like,
I really hope that when you
I want one of those blue ones.
I really hope that when you graduate with your master's education that it's not another brown hood.
I think I'm going to get the blue one this time.
You better.
It's like,
it's not through Lipscomb though, right?
No. And honestly, the color of your hood depends on the degree program that you're graduating from. And I didn't know that until I Googled YTF I have a brown hood.
And it's this really bothered you.
It bothered me because I was like,
was it because it was bad for pictures? What was it about it that really bugged you?
The fact that it was like not a pop of color.
Yeah.
Like I just wanted, like it just, I was just like, at first I was like, oh, it's brown. And then once I got there and I saw everyone else's like nice colors, like green and like blue and pink and purple, all the other good colors.
The happy colors.
The happy colors. I was like, so you gave the film majors brown? And I like Googled like, what does the brown hood mean? And it was like film. And I was like, cute. So, yeah. Like,
as if film majors didn't have enough terrible things to look forward to.
Right.
A hard career ahead of them.
A hard career. Like, you're probably not going to make any money. Yeah. It's going to be, like, long hours. Like,
you're
not
really never going to be known.
Never. Your name, even if you are known, even if you are on that big picture and you put in all those hours, which, I mean, it should just be rewarding because it's something that you love to do, you're not going to get that recognition because your name's going to, like, froop at the end of the credits.
Let's be honest. All of us want to get noticed for good work that we do,
yes,
right?
We do. Absolutely.
So it's not necessarily the fame, although it wouldn't be bad. It's, if we're working that hard for something, we want to be recognized for it. And if you're, I mean, like below the line for a film and you have worked harder, I mean, not to say that the directors and the producers and the actors don't work really hard. They do. But also production assistants work really, really hard.
So much work.
And they, like, their font size is like a 3 compared to an 18.
Yeah, and, like, if you think about, like, all the people who do, like, special effects, like, everything, okay, can we talk Oscars real quick?
Yes.
Because don't they have, like, a whole set, they have, like, a whole separate, I bumped it, a whole separate Oscars for, because I'm, like, this irritates me, for, like, the really hard jobs, like, the editing, the special effects, everything that's like really dope about the movie.
Audio. Those are the ones that they don't show on TV.
Those are the ones they do not show. Yep. That's like a whole separate, they have like a whole separate thing. They're like not invited to the big party because it's not like the glamorous. You're not the main actor. You're not the supporting role. You're not the director. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it's frustrating because those are the people who make the movie.
Mm. Oh man, especially editors. Like when I think one of the most impactful things that was said to me said to all of us during film school was the film is made in the editing room.
Period.
That really is just where the film comes together. And obviously the director is there kind of guiding everything. It's their ship. But you have to have a bomb A editor if you are going to make a good film. It's bottom line. That's what it has to be.
Well, I mean, if you even take a look at Zack Snyder's Justice League compared yeah. to what the other Justice League was, mm-hmm. night and day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought the four-hour one was exactly what I wanted it to
exactly.
be.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I sat through 4 hours of Justice League content.
And you were so satisfied on the other side. Yeah.
100% satisfied. But on that note, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take this shot and cheers to the being the guy in the background.
Yes. Yes. Cheers. Jay taking the shot. He just got his second COVID vaccine, people. Ooh-ooh. He is vaccinated and he is very tired. And I had told him that tequila would be good for him. So he's been taking shots.
Hey.
Well, that was only, I don't remember what number one that was, but let's not talk about it.
Okay, before we get to the good news, I know that you are similar to me and that you are always kind of striving towards something. So mm-hmm. what are the big goals that you're working toward right now?
My big goals right now. I am working toward graduating with my third degree.
For your third time. So what is your graduation date?
My graduation date is June, I want to say 26.
For it to this be a year. Really
big thing. Yeah, this year.
Hell yeah, sister, you are so close.
I have a lot of work to do before I get there, but that's
only like, what, 2 months away?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
I'm thinking about like all the finals I have to do.
Don't think about that. Just think about graduation and a not brown hood.
I'm going to think about a not brown hood. Maybe a teal hood. I think it's going to be teal. Like a nice, like,
ooh, that'll look good on you. Side note, your eyelashes are fire.
Thank you. Okay, can I do like a little plug?
Do a plug.
Okay, I'm going to plug here. Ego Lash Co. Eyelash extensions. My best friend, Jamisha Malone, does my eyelashes. And these are her hybrid set. Freestyle.
Can you send us a link so that we can put it into absolutely. The episode description?
Absolutely.
Okay, sweet.
That picture that I gave you, I do not have eyelashes in that picture, which really sucks. But I would love, like, definitely, like, the eyelashes are fire. And
they look fantastic.
Yeah. It's like a therapeutic experience.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there for, like, 2 hours with my eyes closed. She has, like, music playing, like, mist blowing on my face. She, like, bathes my eyelashes. It's great.
She bathes them.
Like, I get a lash
get
bath.
A little massage.
A little massage on the eyelid. Everything's great. It's a great time.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. Okay, we're going to plug that.
Yeah. Another goal that I have, I need to learn Spanish. To be a person who teaches Spanish, I only know, like, the bad words and the conversational phrases.
Sure.
Yeah.
What bad words do you know?
I know the B word.
Oh, what is it?
Puta.
Puta?
Yeah, but it's really difficult because, like, the word for period is punta with an N, and they're very close. Yeah, callate, shut up.
Wait, what is it?
Callate.
Like coyote.
Like coyote. They say coyote is coyote.
Coyote.
Yeah, but callate.
Callate. Almost like karate. Also,
yes, callate. Also like karate.
Okay.
Callate.
Sorry, I think that I have to make these like established connections in my mm-hmm. mind in order to remember them.
Yes.
Callate.
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 Yeah.
And then puta.
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 That's B-I-T-C-H. It's a bad word.
And then we do not recommend using this at home.
Do not use these words at home. Puta madre. That's motherfucker.
Oh.
Yeah.
That one's, wait.
That one's naughty.
Which one's that?
Puta madre. It's like, it translates to like motherfucker. It's like a similar meaning.
But if you just say puta.
Puta, that's like bitch. I've never understood.
They ran out of creativity there, I think.
Yeah. The way that they like explained it, they were just like, it doesn't translate exactly, but that's basically what it means.
Sure, that's what we use it for.
Yeah, that's like how they use it in the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basuda, that's not so bad, but when they say that to somebody else, they're like calling them trash. Like, yeah, basuda. So, like, when I'm like,
that's low, I feel like that's probably that's the worst one that you've said so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Calling somebody trash?
I feel like when you call someone trash, that is really hurtful and low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. But if they say like, you're trash at something, like, you're basuda,
like you're bad at something.
Like you're bad at something.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
I think in my mind, I'm thinking like white trash, which is.
That's where I went.
Yeah. Which like if they are calling somebody else like trash, like depending on the context, then I'm like, oh, that's a mark. Like you're going to get in trouble for that because you're being disrespectful. So, but some of the words I have to like Google and stuff. It's not fun. I always have to Google translate. So I want to learn Spanish.
I love that. Any others?
Any other like bad words?
No, any other goals?
Oh, any other goals? no, any other goals? Okay, so graduating, learning Spanish, and I mean those are like my goals right now. I have major goals for like work next year.
Oh, okay.
We're like working to. I'm trying to become more of a leader.
She says that with hesitancy, and I'm like, because you have a full competency to be a leader and ability to be a leader.
I saw this TikTok, and it was like, some companies, like when you do really good work, they reward you with like things like a raise or like a bonus or like.
You're saying this like this is totally just like mind blowing to you. This is literally how the world has worked.
Yeah. Usually when you do good work.
Since work has been created.
They give you, like, things. Like, maybe, like, an Amazon gift card or, like, something nice and, like, fun.
Sure.
No, like, when we do good work, they, like, reward you with more work.
Sure.
That was the TikTok. So it's like, you do great work, so here's more work. So, like, yeah, I do good work, so I'm going to get more work. And I don't mind. I'm going to, like, lean into it, just being a leader. So, yeah. So next year, like, I guess my goal is to be more of a leader, become more of, like, the planning process, like, putting systems in place. Just, like, if you're an ESL teacher, you have to have words all over your room. And so we're just trying to, like, normalize how we make anchor charts so that every single room looks the same. So, like, right now I'm creating the anchor charts that are going to be in every single ESL, ELA classroom. So those are like my major goals, just like setting up the systems that we're all going to use in Newcomer Academy next year so that like all of our kids, every single room they go to looks the same. They're supported in the same way.
There's stability there.
There's stability.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Nikki J, do you have any big goals coming up that you're working on?
To make it through this year? I don't know.
I'll give it to you. 2020 was a hard year. No one made any goals. 2021 is probably like to do better than 2020, which is not a high bar.
Well, I'm just trying to like refigure out what I want to do. Because,
yeah,
you know, you graduate college, you think you're, because I went to college at 27, graduated at 30. Mm-hmm. So like for me, it was like, I don't know what to do anymore. Mm-hmm. Do I really want to go back to that and kind of, you know, hit that bottom rung? Or do I want to stick to bartending? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or can I do a hybrid of both? I'd love to do a hybrid of both.
Well, I think eventually both of us would like to make some sort of money off of this also.
Yes, that'd be nice.
I've been reading a lot of articles on it. It's really hard.
Yeah. How do you make money off of this?
Right now we're losing a lot of money.
Oh no.
Listeners on podcast.
Okay.
So it's,
and you get paid for listeners?
Yeah.
There's also like you can do affiliate marketing and stuff like that, which obviously like I sent Nick a bunch of notes today, which he has not had a chance to look at because he's been down with the Moderna vaccine. But
no, no, no. I was down with Pfizer.
Oh,
I just
thought you got Moderna.
No, I got Pfizer. Oh. And then I've just been, it's all fatigue. So I've just been tired. It's not
See,
like.
See, that makes me feel even more elite because I also got Pfizer and I'm like, man.
You weren't tired?
I was just like, my arm hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Did you feel fatigued after the first one or the second one?
I have felt fatigue probably about
Across
the same
the
type
board.
Of fatigue with both of them.
For both of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which one did you get?
Pfizer.
I got the Pfizer.
Okay. We talked about that. Yeah. Pfizer. Yeah, that's. I feel like that's the best one. Although I think we're going to have a booster shot in a year. But I'm like, okay, I'll take that. I mean, the booster shot every year if I have to. It's fine.
Can we talk about that? Like how people are like, oh my God, it doesn't work because you're going to have to get a booster. Like, have you ever heard of a flu shot?
Yeah.
Or like the vaccination process. Like you get a shot and then you have to get a booster. Like even as like babies and children, we have to get all of these shots like every so many months or so many years because that's the way that vaccines work.
Yeah, I can't even remember all of the vaccines that I had to take as a child, but there were a lot of them.
Yeah.
And this is a completely new territory for us. So I think we have to give like a lot of applause to the scientists for figuring this out so quickly, and also grace because it's not perfect. We're all kind of, Well, I say that. We're all figuring it out together. They're mostly figuring it out, and we're just following along. But I think there's an element of, like, one, you guys are awesome. Oh, you know what this would be great for?
Uh-oh. Bam, 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 bam. Uh-oh, here we go.
What does this mean? What's happening?
That was the air horn, which is always celebratory. Okay. And I think
it's great for also disrupting work meetings as well.
Yes, yeah. I've definitely used it and in inappropriate times, but that was appropriate because scientists are awesome and healthcare workers are awesome. So
shout out to healthcare workers.
I think that we have to give them both applause and a rap air horn and also grace because we're all in this together, kind of thing.
We're all in this together.
Is that a High School Musical?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know which is worse, you guys singing it or me realizing it was High School Musical.
Bad. No, I think they're both equally as good.
We all know. Wow, Cass in house.
Well, I guess we don't know that well.
No,
but.
No.
All right. Before we move on to good news, I am gonna give a little snippet about Nick growing up.
Oh yes, okay, yes.
So in 2007, that's when High School Musical came out, right?
Oh my god, is that when you know? Oh my god,
sure. I'm pretty sure, like it was. I think it was like 2006, 2007.
It was definitely when I was in high school, which was 2005 to 2009.
Yeah. Okay. So in 2006, I was a junior, I think, when it came out. And that's when Disney was like, hey, if you wanted to do it at your school play, as your school play, here, do this. I may or may not have tried out for Troy.
Did you get it?
I had a shag haircut. I had like the whole nine yards. I was pretty much that because I was a big runner in high school.
Yeah.
I had my Letterman jacket. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I was finding myself trying out for a play. I was pretty much Troy.
You're pretty much Troy.
I was pretty much Troy. And I didn't get it. Because, listen, I never tried out for another show, so they didn't know if I was going to freeze on stage. They didn't know any of that. So I was like, oh, all right,
in
cool.
In the spirit of High School Musical, they didn't cast you as Troy Bolton?
Seriously. Yeah.
Instead, they got some guy that had curly hair, and they had to straighten his hair before every show. It was kind of funny.
Well,
but then I ended up going tech, and I built the sets.
For what
so
it's
this was
worth,
like setting you up for like who you are today.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Fine. Okay. We'll give him that. But for also for what it's worth, you would have been a great Troy Bolton.
I could absolutely see you as Troy Bolton.
Shag haircut before the
with
beard.
No beard.
With no beard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Before maybe you were capable of growing a beard. Did you have a beard?
I had facial hair in high school. Definitely.
Did you guys ever do like the no, like did your schools do the no shave November thing?
Oh, I mean, I'm still kind of doing that in November. I think it's mostly a male thing, but also it's just really freeing to not have to shave your legs.
It is.
I do no shave never.
No shave never. Well, I mean, you know, well, great beard. But like in high school, did you guys do the no shave November thing?
I don't think that was a thing in high school.
I don't think it was a thing in high school
all
for
us
me,
could really
but
do.
Yeah. I think once I got in college, my friends would do No Shave November. Wait, okay. How old are you?
Well, I'm 20. I'm going to be 28 in June.
You're younger than both of us.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I might be showing my, like, young age. You know, because I think No Shave November, like, once I was, like, a junior in high school, they started doing the No Shave November. And I was very surprised, like, at how many guys in my class, like, grew a beard.
Seriously, what changed to allow men? No. To boys. Allow boys to grow a beard like that.
Boys. Because, like, if you're 16, you are a boy.
You are a boy. You are a boy until you're at least 30. In my mind.
Fair.
I'm still considered a boy, and I'm 32.
Yeah, Nick probably still considers himself a boy.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I'm like Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good news. What's
good,
the good news?
Okay, let's get to the good news. So, we've talked about the Perseverance rover and the Ingenuity a lot over the course of this show. So the Ingenuity is a helicopter that like rode on the Perseverance rover's belly up to Mars, and it's like the helicopter and it's taking flights and, you know, doing all of this amazing things. Like it's, you know, the first flight that humans are aware of on another planet, which is a big deal. And it just made its third flight, which is huge.
On Mars.
Yeah.
Oh my God, are we gonna start living on Mars?
I mean, we might. So I tweeted, like, I mean, very early on to NASA about, is it possible to sneeze
in space,
in outer space? Because if it's not,
she wants.
Did you ever watch Xenon Girl of the 21st Century?
Yeah, uh-huh. It all starts with the Disney movie. Right when she hit Earth, she starts sneezing.
You know when she gets banished to Earth she falls out
because she has the allergies.
It's because apparently gravity, I don't know.
Doesn't let you sneeze?
No, but maybe just space air is a whole lot cleaner than Earth.
Yeah, that's also possible. I can see it
being cleaner. I mean, obviously. Yeah. Breathing shit down here.
But I'm like, if I don't have any allergies, mm-hmm. if I feel lighter... Uh-huh. All I mean, these are both huge benefits. I mean, I would for sure move to Mars.
If I could be Xenon in space, I would do it.
Without getting banished. I always, not always.
Maybe Raven Simone. I would be the Raven Simone character.
Oh, she did yeah, not yeah. She did not. She was a rule follower, though. Are you a rule follower?
No.
Okay.
No.
But you would want to stay in space, mm-hmm. basically. You would not want to get banished. But I find it so funny now that I can, like, think freely as an adult. I'm like, wow, she was banished to Earth. Like, the creators of this movie thought that Earth was so bad mm-hmm. that was where she was sent to on her banishment when she got in trouble.
She knew. I mean, they knew. The writers, they knew that Earth was like a shit show. But...
I think we all kind of do, but most of us wanted to get better. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the difference. Like, they were like, space is going to be better. Like, the only way that, like, things are going to be good is if we're the Jetsons.
Yeah.
But we're all positive people. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, there is room for growth here. Like,
there's room for growth.
Yeah, we all want to... Most of us mm-hmm. want to improve and make the world better.
Most of us.
Yeah. Most of us. And I think that's good. Yeah. I think if you can get the majority on board with that, then that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Maybe if we could, like, stop using plastic straws.
But how do you feel about paper straws?
I hate them.
Right.
They disintegrate.
Disney's been using, I think it's bamboo. They're doing bamboo straws.
I don't think that I've experienced a bamboo straw.
It's life-changing.
It sounds way more durable than a paper straw.
Yeah.
Is it biodegradable? It's biodegradable.
The last thing that I want when I'm drinking a margarita is a straw to just dissolve in the margarita. And that's what a paper straw does. Yeah.
I want to enjoy
this, especially if it's a good margarita. I mean, if you go to, like, you know, a lot of places, you're like, okay, sure, give me a paper straw. This is going to be gone in 5 seconds.
Totally.
Because I'm here for a purpose.
Mm-hmm. To get drunk.
But, you know, there are other places where you're like, wow, this is a great margarita. I really want to enjoy this. Oh, man, I didn't have the margarita. Was it good?
I've never had their margaritas, but their drinks are really good.
R.I.P. So El Fuego is my favorite margarita in town / favorite restaurant, and their margaritas are $4.
Mm.
They're so good.
What about rose pepper? Like, where does it fall?
I never liked rose pepper.
No. I would
even
say...
Even before, I didn't like it.
Even the clear?
Yeah, I didn't like the clear version.
I disagree. Oh. I would say pre-COVID, it was probably number two in my heart. Mostly because the margaritas were straight tequila and the vibes were 100.
Mm-hmm.
Now, post-COVID, they have a new margarita recipe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gasp.
Are they, like, not clear?
They are not clear. Well, they are green, and they are not good.
No. Yeah. Take that crap away.
And the vibes, they're not good, y'all. Like, they have partitions in between every single table, which I get it. COVID was real. It's a bad thing. But, like, I mean, eventually they got, like, it's just, it hurts.
We in Nashville. I'm kidding.
I mean, yeah, we are, like, mm-hmm. in the South, so most people don't believe in it. Rose Pepper definitely believes in it.
Yeah.
I think but it's also, all of East Nashville
yeah.
believes Nashville. Highly in it.
But, I mean, okay.
Well, I mean, it was a, it
it's
a thing.
It's a thing,
but,
okay, it right? Like, I'm glad that they were safe. Yeah. However, it definitely crushed their vibes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, they probably don't even rank in the top five for me anymore.
I haven't been back to Rose Pepper in, like, a year.
Just move on. Go to El Fuego. Go to Butcher Town Hall. Mm. Actually, those are probably the only two.
The margaritas
really...
at Bar Tacos are really good. Bar Tacos is good. But
yeah.
I don't like Bar Tacos anymore. They changed their corn tortilla. And
I mean, why people got to go change stuff?
When they got bought out by a bigger company and they wanted to save money, so they changed it. And apparently their revenue's down.
Well, yikes. It's because of them corn tortillas.
I mean, I love a good corn tortilla, but yeah. Don't go to a lesser corn tortilla.
I know. Yeah. I'm all about filling out contact forms. So mm-hmm. I think that if we just submitted contact forms to each mm-hmm. of these places, they would 100%, it would just be like a 180, just completely change direction. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, yeah, this one person
change
is right.
Is right about the thing.
Completely. And all we need them. To, yeah, fix ourselves.
Okay, so who has the best taco in Nashville?
Probably Mas Tacos.
Mas Tacos is really good. I still like, what is it? I'm there like twice a month, and I can't remember the name of it right now.
Yeah. There's this place.
It's down off of like Old Hickory.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to know that.
Yeah. It's so far away. Gina doesn't travel that far in town.
I am like super like just like city of Nashville, like Nashville yeah. person.
Local taco.
What is it?
Local taco. Okay. There was the one in East. I don't know what it is. I don't like vegetarian anything, but mm-hmm. they're vegetarian tacos. It has goat cheese and like shiitake mushrooms. And then I love goat cheese.
I love feta.
I love cheese.
Feta is also great.
Feta is delicious. Yeah, cheese in general, though.
Cheese in general is probably so one of good. The most amazing gifts that the Lord could ever have given us.
Absolutely. It's like a food fancy. And like, if you have a food and you want to make it fancy, you just figure out a cheese. I also love Gouda.
Ooh, yeah.
Gouda's my
smoked
favorite.
Smoked Gouda.
She got it. She's the man.
Nope.
Oh, you never watched She's the Man?
Probably not.
It's based on The Twelfth Night by Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Amanda Bynes.
Before I know she what went crazy. It is.
Before she went crazy. She was actually cute in that movie.
It's actually fantastic. Like, probably one of my most quoted mm-hmm. movies.
Yeah. I can't remember where I was. And, like, people just started, like, quoting, like, She's the Man.
I mean, 2005. Where were you in 2005?
Where was I in 2005? Yeah. I was at Craig Middle School.
Oh my gosh.
It's closed down now, but.
28. You're a baby.
I'm a baby.
Just wait until you hit 30. I literally was just moving in bed this week, popped my back, and haven't been able to, like, turn my head to the right for the whole week.
She said I was moving in bed.
Literally. Shifting positions. Back popped, and I was like, oh, that's not good, and couldn't move.
Yeah, like, I'm, like, cracking. Like, I don't know, like, this year, like, I just started cracking in, like, places, and I'm just like, when I drink now, the next day, it just depends on how I'm drinking. If I don't drink enough water, like, my legs hurt. It's just...
Welcome to
They're
the
like swollen. Yeah. So one of our news articles from last week that we totally called bullshit on was a study claimed that hangovers get better
as you
get older. And we were like, no, nothing gets better.
Nothing gets better.
As you
just got
get
smarter
older.
The way we drink.
The way
exactly.
We drink. Yeah.
The way you handle the drinking is what gets better.
Instead of going out for 4 hours and taking 18 shots, mm-hmm. now it's like, hey, we're going out for 12 hours, so mm-hmm. let's have 10 beers over those 12 hours maybe a shot.
Or even you just start at 2. You end at 6 and you're still in bed by 8.
And you're still in bed. Or how about drink some water?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Eat some food
yeah.
while you're drinking.
Yeah. The food's a lifesaver for sure.
Yeah.
The food's a lifesaver.
So just get ready. 30, I mean, sure, you're feeling it, but 30 hits you hard. Yeah. It's just like this immediate, like, your body recognizes, oh, I'm 30 now. You have a lot to deal with.
You have a lot.
I'm 27, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Same. I'm 27 in this moment. 27.
I said I was 32 like 10 minutes ago.
I know. I'm like, hold on. This is not correct. Okay. Next story.
Yes.
In Dutch cities, they have been doing this new like bee strategy. So like bumblebees kind of thing. Those kind of bees. Okay. Bee hotels, bee stops, bee highway, like honey highways. Essentially, the Netherlands, which, have you seen Midsummer?
No.
Terrifying. 1 out of 10. Do not recommend. It was like one of the most jarring films I've ever watched. But now when I think about the Netherlands, that's all I think about. So this was actually a really redemptive story for me because they care about the bees. But the Netherlands, second to the U.S., is the biggest, like, agricultural export. Mm-hmm. So bees are really important. But they don't have as many flowers and, like, as many places to just kind of, like, pollinate things. So they've set up these, again, bee hotels, bee stops, honey highways, where bees can go and, like, do their bee thing. And they essentially have, like, this bee census, which they had this year. And
somebody has too much time on their hands. That's what I'm gathering.
I mean, the Netherlands, they probably have, like,
they don't have real problems.
They probably work, like, 30 hours a week. And,
yeah, cute.
I mean, honestly, probably live way better lifestyles than we do.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these volunteers, like, did this bee census. They were like, oh, these are the bees that we see in our backyard kind of thing. And they saw that there was no great decrease in the bee population because they've set up these things. So they have kind of like a long way to go for this quote unquote experiment. They want to do it over a several year span.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's good news that, like, because the bees are important in food growth.
Yeah.
So if the bees are not able to pollinate and, like, do their thing, then they're not able to grow food as well. But also, I'm like, this is a great route for market. Like, it's a great opportunity for marketers to be like, oh, yeah, this is the honeymoon suite at this bee hotel.
Honey, punnies.
Yes. Honey, yeah. I mean, so many good opportunities for marketers to be like, oh, yeah, okay, this is what we're going to do with this bee rest stop. And this is going to be specifically for this kind of bee. And we're going to just make it awesome for them.
I would honestly, like, if I'm doing a vacation where I'm trying to, like, experiment or experience different, like, cultural elements, I would love to go and, like, stay at, like, a bee hotel. And, like, I mean, I think bees are, like, majestic creatures and everything. Like, I love them. I love honey. I love bees. Sure. I think, like, I don't want to get stung by one, but they're, like, super cute. So if I could stay at, like, a honeymoon suite, that'd be really cool. Like, I would do it.
So this is, I'm just going to show this to you. This
but
is
they
like,
have too much time on their hands. This is
the bee hotel. I don't think you're going to fit there.
Oh.
It's a little different than, like, what you're picturing. I mean, it's literally like a hotel for bees.
That's definitely not what I was
there is just not.
I mean, like, a hotel with, like, a bee.
There
like,
is
a lot
not
of
room for Crystal there. It is okay, just, cute. It is basically just, like, a fancy hive. But because they don't have as many agricultural spots along the way, like, they don't have as many flower pit stops, they've created these bee hotels.
I'm sure.
Apparently, Crystal.
I just
want to
let you guys know
because
this is a podcast, and so you can't see it. There's, like, a diamond, a wooden diamond with, like, some bees. Like I don't know.
But
like,
I love the picture.
No, it's cute.
Of
it's
seeing cute. Crystal in, like, a beekeeper's outfit, just, like, laying in the field right next to the bee hotel. And she's like, this is what I wanted to experience.
Yeah.
This whole time. This was it.
I want to. Okay, so there's this show. It is called Fudge.
That's not what it's called.
It's
You're
not
still
called
thinking.
It's not called
What's
Fudge.
It about?
Okay, so it's about like making like people like these chefs and they infuse their food with like THC and CBD.
Oh, Nick, do you know about this? He watches cooking shows.
No, but I'm
It's
curious.
On Hulu. Oh, God, I can't remember.
I don't watch
the
too
name.
Much Hulu. Hulu's kind of like towards the bottom of my list right now.
Yeah, it's not a great, like, Hulu isn't great, but this show is like they cook food.
Bon Appetit.
That's it. I was trying to think. I was like, it's like a pun on like smoking weed. So Bon Appetit. Oh my God. They had one episode where they had somebody like infuse honey with THC. And so they like had somebody
who
like
delicious.
Like a beekeeper. Yeah. So they went to like a place that like makes honey and they infused it. And I think maybe that place actually makes THC infused honey.
Oh.
And it was so cool how they made it because they like took the honeycombs and like put it in whatever like cloth they wrap it in and like they like squeezed all the honey out of it and like just seeing it come, it was like super satisfying. So I would love at like some point in my life to make my own honey. Oh. And like have my own jar of honey. And I think that's something that they could 100% do.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you would have to, I mean, I think your first goal would have to be a beekeeper. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's the,
I would be right? Like a tourist. Don't you have I would like to, go with a professional.
Oh, so you're talking about like one class. You don't want to make it like a lifestyle.
I can't, I don't think I could make it a lifestyle.
Okay. I used would to, love it. My allergies are so bad that you've heard natural honey supposedly makes your allergies better. So we lived in this just podunk town that was even more podunk than the actual town that I spent most of my time in growing up. And we would go get like honey from the combs. Like when we brought it home, it was still in the comb. And I would eat that honey just like straight because apparently it was so good for your allergies. And did yet here I am still like suffering from severe sinuses and allergies. So
maybe
I'm not.
You have to do it like over time.
I think it's kind of like probably the allergy shot thing where it's like the more exposure you get, the better. And I also quit allergy shots within a year because have you ever gotten allergy shots?
Uh-uh.
They nope. just like go and they stick you with all of the things you're allergic to. So my arm was just like one swollen
how many
piece
did you
of
have?
Skin. And I mean, a lot. I'm allergic to a lot of things and it was super miserable. Yeah. So I
fuck
quit.
It. Yeah. I'll sneeze.
Yeah. So now I just blow my nose a lot.
Yeah.
All right, the next story. I loved this story, and it's out of Ireland, which the person who finds our good news, Sean, he lives in Ireland. So this makes sense that he would celebrate this, but I definitely wish that they would do this specifically at my condo in Nashville, Tennessee. They are doing DNA testing of dogs to sniff out owners who don't pick up their dog's poop. So basically they're like getting DNA swabs from these dogs. Yes. Okay. And if that matches shit that they find around, they like get fined for that.
That's good.
Childish.
No, I'm like, this is what I need. Literally yesterday in the rain, I'm like, I already don't want to be out here. My dog is shitting. He stepped in shit that was wet. And so then I had to like spend, yeah, it wasn't his. So I had to like spend however much more of my time mm-hmm. cleaning up his feet from dog poop mm-hmm. that he stepped in.
That wasn't his.
And I'm like, man, if I knew who owned this dog poop, I'd be like on their front door lighting it on fire. Yeah. And saying, you need to start picking up your dog's poop.
I have a funny quick story. So my mom is like on the neighborhood app for our neighborhood. And there was like this huge fight a couple months ago because one of my neighbors, she has a really big dog and she walks her dog and she takes her dog poop. She picks it up, but she throws it in this other lady's like garbage bin. And so like the other lady was like, to the woman who lives at inserts address here.
She put her whole address.
She put her address on the neighborhood app. Wow. She was like, please stop putting your dog poop in my trash can. So, yeah, that makes me think of.
That is funny. So I will say that if I will take Otto on walks and I will put it in like trash cans that don't belong to me if they are available, but if it's like it's not an everyday thing. I'm not just like targeting this one person's trash can and saying this is where I'm going to put the poop every single time.
Yeah,
that's so interesting.
They and then like family members like came in on it and was like,
is it next
defending
door?
Like mom. It was like, so she's one of my like she lives like maybe two doors down from me, so like I'm familiar with the family. But the woman lived like she lives in a cul-de-sac like around the corner. So like she like walks her dog, picks up the poop, puts it in this woman's trash can, and the woman's pissed. And she like messages on the neighborhood app like, stop putting your dog's poop in my trash can, lady. And like the woman's kids get on the app, like her husband gets on the app, like my mom didn't put the poop in the trash can.
Oh my God.
It's like a big thing.
Y'all, this is what suburban drama. America is fighting over.
Yeah.
Well, at least suburban Indianapolis.
Yeah. Indianapolis.
That is funny. It's funny. Okay, our last story. And I confess that I can't speak into this too much because I did not watch Tiger King.
I didn't either.
Apparently, Joe Exotic is now willing to accept Carol Baskin's offer to help him get out of jail.
I bet he is.
You know, he's like serving this 22-year sentence because he like hired a hit on Carol Baskin.
That didn't work out.
And his, so Carol and Howard, who I guess she, is that her husband? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has said, like, if he would come out and support, like, the Big Cat Public Safety Act and, like, stop all of the breeding or whatever. Again, I have not watched it, so I don't know all the specifics of this. They're like, yeah, we'd, like, help him reduce his sentence. We'd, like, help him get out of jail. And this was Joe Exotic's response. It is time for Carol and Howard to put up or shut the hell up because I'm accepting their offer. And then he said, it is time to get on the phone to President Biden, whoever they need to say or whoever they need to that they've got in their little financial pocket and say, hey, Joe is willing to support a big cat bill to help protect cats in America from being exploited. Does that make sense to you?
He is desperate.
So
Joe just wants to be free.
I need to know, like, can you just give us a brief overview? Obviously, Joe put out a hit to murder Carol. Mm-hmm. I fought my instinct to watch this show. The only reason I wanted to watch the show was to be relevant so that I could have conversations about it. And I was like, I don't think that it's worth it. So I never did. So could you speak into a little bit about, like, what is, like, the synopsis? What is it about this show that, you know, touches on this?
Joe is absurd. He's eccentric, and he's very fun to watch. And that's, I don't know. Like, I can't, like, he's just, Joe is exotic, you know? He's more than just the animals. Like, his whole personality, he's a big personality. And it was literally, like, when they said, like, murder. Like, it's just chaos. So he's interesting. Joe Exotic is the kind of guy who's just like, he finds people who are kind of who's able to be influenced, and he takes them and he uses them.
So he's manipulative.
He's manipulative. He is he would go and he would find, like, ex-cons who just gotten out of jail. And he'd be like, hey, come work with me. I'll give you a home. I'll give you food.
So what did he do? Did he breed tigers?
Yes. He would buy and breed tigers. He had so many tigers. He would also, like, take the expired food from Walmart, and he would feed it to his animals. He would also feed it to his employees. And he would also, he started having a, like, a, he had a pizza place at his big cat, I don't know, his zoo, his big cat zoo, and the pizza, the meat on the pizza was from expired food off of the Walmart truck.
Okay,
so he was just unethical. He was.
So, what is his relationship to Carol?
Carol, they had, like, a big cat community, and so she was another big cat person, and so she was a rival to him. There were other big cat people who were, like, friends to him. But he hated her because she had a really big, beautiful, like,
apparently
cat
non
rescue.
Like, residential yes. situation.
Yes.
Apparently his was, like, all resident, the way that it was set up was, like, residential yeah. cats. But he was raising tigers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And hers was, like, a rescue thing. Not that she ever released them. But hers was, like, bigger. She had volunteers. She had more support.
It's interesting to me.
And an internet presence.
That this is a thing in Florida. Because apparently there are enough tigers that need to be rescued in Florida that Carol was like, we're going to start a big cat rescue. Right? This all happened in Florida?
Yes. I don't know that Carol was actually rescuing tigers.
Okay.
I think that was just, like, kind of the front she was putting on. I don't trust Carol Baskin for shit. I can't lie. Like, she killed her husband. Carol Baskin killed her husband and fed him to the tigers.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So
I believe it.
Howard is
but
not.
She's the boss.
So Howard's her new husband.
He's the new husband and a pawn. He is a pawn.
Drama, drama, drama.
Drama, drama, drama. Watch it. It is dramatic. She had, as a young woman, she married this very rich man, and he was cheating on her in, like, Brazil or something. I can't remember exactly where, but he would, like, fly off, and he was going to leave her. The night before he was going to fly off, he comes up missing. They find his truck, and he's gone. And Carol
killed him. Fed him to the tigers, y'all. I believe it in my soul. Joe is not crazy, but Joe is a little exotic. Bit crazy. He's exotic. Yeah. So people don't trust him. So I believe he maybe shouldn't have killed her or tried to put a hit on her, but
sure.
that was his bad.
Bad begets bad, I guess, is the story here. Florida begets more Florida stories.
This is
holy cow.
I would never raise children in Florida because...
No! You take a trip to Florida for 10 days a year at most, and then you're like, I got to get out of here or else something bad's going to happen. Yeah.
You turn into Carol Baskin or Joe Exotic.
But the good news is he is willing to accept help. For everyone out there who was like super into this, maybe you guys care about that. I will say that I went the entire pandemic without watching one episode of Tiger King.
I didn't. I refused.
Yeah, really? Exactly. It was like a principal thing at some point. Like I was just like, wow, so many people are crazy about this that I do not want to watch it now.
A woman got her arm chewed off and then returned to work.
I mean, if that had been the advertisement, maybe I would have watched it.
Yeah. Dang. That was some good stuff.
That's good. Oh my gosh, Crystal.
It was trash TV.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We had such a good time. I really appreciate you being here, and we'll definitely have to have you back.
Of course. I would love to come back.
Awesome. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. We love having you here, and we hope to see you again next week.
Cheers. Oh, it's that time again. I was going to make it, but then, I mean.
I never know when it's actually appropriate.
Should I just start giving you like a look?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like when I've tried to do it in meetings, I've always interrupted. And it still seems to work. It has the same effect. So I think I'm just going to keep interrupting people with the air horn until someone tells me that that's socially unacceptable.
I like it. I think it's going to work.
Okay. So fact check. That was not the app, people. That was my actual voice. That's my most useless talent, is being able to do a rap air horn. I don't even know if it's actually that good.
I think it's good. That's all that matters.
At the gym, it's good. But we have much bigger space than here in my 600 square feet condo.
This is also very valid.
I just have too big of a voice for this condo. You know, it just doesn't work here. But at the gym, it's perfectly appropriate.
Yes, it's a little bigger, bit of a bigger a space. I mean, it used to be an auto garage, right? I
think. Man, we love the gym.
We do. But right now, let's go ahead and knock out this fact check.
Yes, let's talk about all the ways we were wrong.
I mean, a lot of these are just like small things. And it usually has to do with when things came out and like acronyms if we didn't know them, right?
Yes. And, you know, I'm happy to be wrong with things.
Yeah.
And especially when it's involving movies. I think it's fine. There are so many movies out there. How are we supposed to know them all perfectly well?
I'm not perfect.
Even if it is She's the Man and I quote it every single day and I should know the exact year and time that it came to theaters, I'm not necessarily... I'm still human, you know? Yeah.
And, you know, I'm older than you are, so I think my memory is starting to go away a little bit, so...
I don't know. I think it's
definitely not perfect.
Kind of going back to what we talked about a little while ago. I don't know how many episodes ago this was, but we talked about REM sleep. And I don't know if it matters how old you are. I mean, you're only 2 years older than me, but, you know, not a lot of REM sleep can add up. So maybe I'm technically like 60 in sleep age.
Yeah, but
I don't know. I don't think that's a thing, but.
I think there was like a solid 8 years where I didn't sleep very well. So
when you were in the Marines,
yeah,
that's probably fair. Wow, way to just like majorly one up me. Wow,
one up. All I'm saying is that I think if you're comparing yourself to 60, I think I'm like 80.
Remember that time I served my country for 8 years and you just, you know, forgot to take melatonin and you couldn't sleep very well?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, I think we're on different pages. Okay. Fact check for this week. So I had a really hard time remembering what the biggest population diversity-wise that Nashville has. And it's, I said Turkish, it's wrong. However, it is Kurdish, which is very close phonetically. So I'm not going to, I'm not going to take away points for myself for that, but it is Kurdish. So we have the largest Kurdish population in the United States. About 15,000 Kurdish people live in Nashville.
That's actually very impressive.
It's super cool.
I'm very surprised by that.
Yeah.
That's really cool though.
I love it. And Siloam Health Center services a lot of them, which I cannot say enough good things about Siloam. They're awesome. If you want to donate to them, we will provide the link in our link tree. They're awesome. But yeah, it's the largest Kurdish population, not Turkish.
I like it. All right, next one.
WIDA.
Oh, we did mention WIDA, didn't we?
We did. We threw around, well, Crystal.
Crystal threw around
WIDA a lot, and we were not sure what it actually stood for. We knew it stood for something, but we weren't positive what it was. It is World Class Instructional Design and Assessment. It's kind of a mouthful. I mean, I understand why we would just say WIDA.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... and we were drinking some good tequila.
Good tequila.
I mean, Teremana's pretty good.
Yeah, so...
And after, I think we did about 3/4 of that bottle between the three of us, so...
Yeah, I mean, there's like none left now.
Not anymore.
So, to Crystal's credit, I think that she did great just remembering what WIDA was. But it does stand for something.
That's good.
We'll say it again. World Class Instructional Design and Assessment. And it's what they use to monitor a student's English speaking ability. Yep. It's a lot.
Yep. Okay.
On to the next one.
Which this one you should have known right off the bat.
I know. I am actually incredibly disappointed in myself. Both of these, actually. This is like a double correction that I'm really embarrassed about. I asked Crystal, what were you doing in 2006? As if that's when She's the Man was released. However, it was... Oh, wait, no. It was 2006. Yes. I asked her what she was doing in 2005.
Yes.
And it was released in 2006. Yes. So I was wrong on that count. And then also, and again, I'm not saying that this was... You know, I wasn't necessarily being factual when I said this, but just to set the record straight, the quote is, my favorite's Gouda, not Gouda's my favorite.
Which, I mean, that's pretty close. I mean, I would give it to you, but factually, yes, I guess we were wrong.
Yes, well, I mean, to give the credit to Amanda Bynes, we have to say... My favorite's Gouda.
Okay.
Which she deserves all the credit for that film.
She does.
Maybe none after that, but...
But for that one, yes.
But all of it for She's the Man. All right, Nick, why don't you take the next one?
All right. So, Midsummer. We talked about Midsummer, and we thought it took place in the Netherlands. But it was not the Netherlands.
You took the wrong one. I was talking about the High School Musical one.
Oh. Oh, yeah. That is on the list next.
And that was yours. That was your mistake. That's why you should have taken that. All the other mistakes were mine.
But technically, yeah, no, I was wrong. It came out in 2006, not 2007, which makes sense in the timeline because we did the play in 2007.
Yes.
So it makes sense that it came out in 2006, and then they had the play adaptation, and then everything kind of trickled down to the high school. So by 2007, we did it in spring.
And to your credit, you kind of like went back on yourself a little bit. You were like, you know, it was released in 2007. And then later on you said, well, 2006, 2007, you know, around then. So I think you realized your mistake as you were speaking and you gave yourself a little bit of grace there. But just so the world knows.
Clarification.
It was released in 2006.
Ooh, man. Zac Efron in 2006.
Mm.
That shag haircut, man. I'll tell you what. I'm
my
jealous.
Turn to whistle. Basically, all the movies that have talked about, except for Midsummer, were released in 2006, not the years that we actually discussed in the recording.
It's fine. We're all fine here.
Okay, so the last one, Midsummer. It did take place in Sweden, not the Netherlands. I still stand by my statement that it was the most traumatic movie that I've ever watched in my entire life. However, we'll give it to the Swedes, not the Netherlanders. What are they called?
Oh, no.
We're not the first ones who Googled this. Netherlanders. Oh, or the Dutch.
The Dutch. There we go. Oh, man.
Oh, yes. Okay, so not the Netherlanders. As I said, we're going to go ahead and fact check Gina again. That entire population are called the Dutch, which we should have known very easily.
It was right there. I swear it was.
Was
right
it?
There. Yeah. Well,
it maybe. Wasn't right there for me.
Okay. Well. Oh, well.
Okay.
They'd rather we call them Netherlanders speaking Nanderlandish.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't. They still. Netherlanders is a thing. So it was like Netherlanders or the Dutch. Not Netherlanders, however. But we were close. We were close enough to not be like so far off that we should shame ourselves.
No, I think we're good.
I think we're fine.
That's solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're good.
I'll cheers to that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Nicholas Flamel Elliott is our producer and one of my besties. Josh Suddeth is a new dad to a beautiful baby girl and also created our theme song. Check him out at Sud Studios on all the social channels. Our friend Sean Connolly in Ireland, which is my favorite country in pictures, researches our good news stories each week. Haruna Rashid makes us look good on Spotify with awesome podcast artwork. I'm your host, Gina Medlin. If you enjoy your time with us, please review, follow, like, share, all of the things with your network. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Cheers.